But that is the growth mindset.
That is the growth mindset.
It says, this is an opportunity to improve this work relationship, to get more clarity about who I am, who you are, how you see me, how I see myself.
Right.
And wouldn't it be fun to embrace that together and see what happens?
Right.
Welcome to WorkWise, the growth mindset for wisdom at work. I'm Ken Kennard, coach and chief creative officer at Accent Interactive, a creative agency. And my co-host is Mike Boyes of Credo Consulting, a firm that helps leaders thrive and teams prosper. In this episode, we get curious about showing appreciation at work. Why, how, when, and the impact that feeling known and appreciated has on the team environment. So Mike, thank you so much for coming back and recording another episode with me of WorkWise.
Oh, no, Ken.
What?
Thank you for having all the equipment ready and making sure that we're always on top of things and doing all the work of getting it done.
Well, Mike, this was really because of you, because if you didn't have the desire and the express the interest in having these kind of conversations, I don't think I would have set this up. I really owe a debt of gratitude to you.
Please, Ken, you overestimate yourself. I mean, underestimate yourself. The studio, the beautiful studio you have here, and you just do things to bring the best out of me.
It would be meaningless without your presence here. And so I just wanted to say thanks, how much I really appreciate
it. Okay, you're right. It would be meaningless without me.
So this topic of appreciation comes up.
Yeah.
It came up for me because of Thanksgiving, but also the end of the year stuff that we just experienced.
Yeah.
And I wanted to have a conversation about that. I know you've been writing about it and thinking about this for years. Let's start with this. Why is appreciation so important in the workplace?
Right. Well, I think appreciation is important everywhere. And I think it's a spiritual issue. I think that appreciation, the desire for appreciation, is nothing less than the desire to see what God has put in us, and for others to see how He created us. And so I think it's a spiritual issue that we carry around with our at home, with our friends, and at work. And it's a matter of truth in a lot of ways.
So you're saying like it's just true that we feel this need to be appreciated? That's inherent in who we are?
Yeah, I think we are valuable, and we were all created in unique and wonderful ways. And we want that to be seen, and we want that to be celebrated.
And so that's a good thing. That's not a selfish or...
No, it's like looking at a flower and going, wow, what a pretty flower. And, you know, flowers, you know, for people, you know, the analogy might be that a flower withers when its beauty is not appreciated.
Okay.
And everyone's a flower.
Yeah.
But a different kind of flower.
Even the people we don't like at work?
Some flowers have thorns.
Okay. Okay. Maybe that's part of what makes them unique and special.
Yeah.
All right. So, you deal with a lot of business owners and leaders, and I'm sure that many of them are on board with this idea. You know, I see it. They want to appreciate, they want to give or do something to recognize. But what mistakes do you see them making? Like why do we need to have a conversation with them about appreciation?
Yeah. Well, first let me say, I think that I see a greater awareness these days that, the people need to be appreciated, that people come to work as people, not as cogs in a wheel. And I think that the small businessman gets that a whole lot better because they're up close and personal. And it's when we get into larger organizations, where things become depersonalized, that it's just easier to, you know, forget that we're dealing with people and that people really need this appreciation. So I think we're getting better. And I think the small businessman really probably has, on the whole, a notch up on the folks. You know, I think that the number one thing, that mistake that I think people make, is that they assume that, well, they know it. It's like that old joke about, you know, when the wife is asking the husband if he loves her, and he says, well, I told you when we got married, if anything changes, I'll let you know. You know, it's kind of like that. And they assume that they know they're appreciated, I think, is one of the big things. And they want to go about and drive and get their, you know, their business done, right?
Yeah. But that employee really needs to feel it. They need to sort of experience it on an ongoing basis, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think we do. And I think we overestimate how much encouragement people need. And you never know what people are going through. You know, they come into work and they do have a mask on, and they don't always tell you where they came from or what's going on at home or if they're frustrated that day.
Yeah.
And it's part of the job of a friend, and it's part of the job of a leader, I believe, to re-energize. It's the, if, you know, for many people, that overt appreciation is the fuel they operate on.
Yeah.
The recognition of their beauty, right? Mm-hmm. So, but that's something that you experience. I mean, when you produce work for a client, you know, what do you, you know, is it showing up for there as you as well for you?
Yeah, I feel like, well, when you run a small business, you don't just have one boss; you've got all these different bosses,
right?
And so, I think it's important for me that each one of those bosses appreciates our work as a team. And they don't always express it the same way. And some of them are better at it than others. But being on that receiving end of someone who says, you know what, here's what I appreciated about what you did.
Yeah.
I like it when they are specific. They don't just say, thanks. Yeah. They say, you know, when you did this particular thing, that was really meaningful to me. And that had an impact. That really puts wind in my sails. I feel like I could work, you know, a long time on the energy and strength that it gives me for an authentic, specific appreciation.
What's that specificity do for you? What's that do when someone gives you specific?
It shows me that they noticed the details. It shows me that they really were paying attention to things I did. Mm-hmm. And they're not just feeling like, oh gosh, I should be appreciative. Maybe let's check this off the list.
Right.
You know, or calling their secretary and having them send a generic thank you card and not even signing it. It's kind of the equivalent of not being specific. Noticing the details means you really appreciated it. You savored it.
And so you could give a vague thank you, or I appreciated it. And that might suggest that it's an obligation.
Yeah.
And that they don't necessarily mean it. It's just something they have to say, or they say, but getting the details says, I looked at this and this here's.
It says you paid attention, you spent time on it. It was important to you too.
Right. Yeah. Well, and when you think about it, the time you spend looking at something and examining it is often an indication of how important it is to us.
Right.
And think about the first check you got or the first dollar you made. Yeah. You looked at that for a long time, and you look at this, I'm on my way, right?
Right, right.
You
know,
and so you get your new car, and you start looking at it, and you walk around it and take a look at it, and you look at all the features, and you're going, wow, I got my new car. So that's kind of that in itself is an act of, this is important to me. I want to take this in.
I did that this morning with my daughter. I was hugging my daughter, and she snuggled up with me, and I just paused, you know, I've got a busy day, but you know, I can pause and just, I was noticing the details, you know, the way her body was formed, the way she formed her words, what she was saying, how she treated me, her attitude. And I pointed to some of those things. You could just see her just snuggling closer. It made a big difference to her that I was savoring her.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot there. So one is, kids are a wonder.
Oh yeah.
They're a wonder. Yeah. And they kind of, they're a catalyst for us to stop and look at them and go, and it's to hold that. We know they're not around forever. You know, and this is a moment to treasure. And here, and this child's not going to be like this in another 6 months.
Right.
And so you want to remember it, you know, and take that in. So I wonder what it would do if we transferred that same thinking to adults.
Yeah, well, maybe you could help me with that, because I feel like I'm pretty good at savoring in
you are
on certain things that I but when it comes to work, I think I shift my mind into this productivity mode, and for me it becomes about getting things done.
Yeah.
It becomes about efficiency and productivity and about, you know, getting our goals accomplished and achieving our vision, and somehow in the mess of that, I don't know that I'm really doing a good job at savoring the people.
Yeah.
So what, you've done some thinking about that. Yeah, help me out with how to leverage that savoring skill in this arena.
Right. Well, first, business is about getting things done, isn't it? We get things done. We add value. We contribute to our client's success. We push things forward and we create new things and solve problems. So business is about that. When you were saying that, I was in my head was this maybe the contrast between kind of the guy who loves to work on the car and maintain it because he knows that the maintenance of that car and the care of its engine and its parts and the train, that's going to make it run. When they love that thing, that's what's going to make it perform. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the shift, I think that I sometimes desire people would make is to understand that business is not just an economic exchange or an economic transaction. It's not just a productivity issue. It's a social, dynamic, life, civil issue where we spend our lives. And so it's all mixed in. We have this, we like this compartmentalize and separate things and say it's about this, when really it's about both this at the same time. In fact, I was reading some research recently from a guy named David Rock, who's into the kind of the Neuro Leadership Institute and Neuro Leadership. And one of the things that he points out is that people view work as a social transaction and a social interaction than they do a kind of productivity interaction. It's about the social part of life. And that's the lens through which they see work. And when you think about it, is we're getting work done through people. So can it be about both? How do we...
Yeah.
This is about creating a social world and maintaining it as well as it is about getting stuff done and making money.
Okay. So first, it sounds like I need to adjust my mindset to be more inclusive of both instead of just one or the other.
It's not,
All right. So once I've done that, you wrote a post about this recently where you talked about things that you think leaders could do to show appreciation. Yeah. Maybe you could speak to that.
Yeah. Well, I think that the first is understanding that people, that we are leading people.
Okay.
And when we're leading people, we're leading mindsets, we're leading perspectives, we're leading beliefs, we're leading emotions in order to get work done. Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes we like to skip over all that stuff in the middle to get the work done. And we assume that the system and the dynamics that are going to happen between point A and point B are going to happen if they focus on the work. And the reality is that we have to focus on that whole social system and work system together to get things done. And so I had a boss who once told me that, Michael, every system is designed to produce exactly what it's producing. So the question is what's the system we're operating in? Another one of the mistakes that I see people making is there's an attitude that I shouldn't have to coddle people. That they should be able to do their work.
Just get your job done. That's what you're paid for. Sit there, do the work. Don't be a mess. Don't be a fuss.
I give you a paycheck. What else do you need? Right? Wow. I give you a paycheck. What else do you need? And that's a bit like saying, get in the car and drive. What more does the car need besides a driver? Right? Yeah. Well, a lot of things, right? And so it is an economic transaction. So I think that attitude, what else do they need? Well, they're people.
Yeah.
And what else does your child need? What else does your son need? What else does anything need? Is we think that if people want something that's emotional from us, then we probably ought not give it.
It sounds messy.
Work and life is messy.
Yeah.
And it's extremely complicated. And it's emotional.
Yeah.
That's the thing is people want to push emotions aside. And then, you know what? And you think about it, that's not just at work.
Yeah.
Does that mean, don't we want to push all that messiness aside all the time?
Well, I certainly want to push your messiness and your emotions aside because they get in the way for me of accomplishing my mission is kind of how I look at it. If you're,
right.
If I see you as needy, overreacting, or complicating things with your, you know, the way that you're being treated or things like that, it seems like overhead. It seems like a barrier to progress.
You made a distinction between my messiness and your messiness.
Well, my messiness is completely explainable and justified, of course.
Yeah. How about neediness? Do you bring, you know, neediness?
Sure.
So that's part of messiness, and I think kind of real salient to where we are.
Sure.
So what kind of neediness are you bringing to the workplace? And look, and I say this, you're a business owner, you're a boss, and you're a provider.
Yeah.
You're a provider of services. And so what neediness are you, if you're honest with yourself, right?
Yeah, right.
if we're honest with ourselves, what neediness are we bringing to the table?
A lot. I think I need the business to work. Mm-hmm. I need the relationships with the clients to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
I need the team to get along.
Mm-hmm.
I need the work environment to be healthy and productive. And I need the people to want to be here and really contribute their best.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I feel like my needs are everywhere here.
Right. So. I hear those as business needs.
Yeah. Okay. Right? So you're going for something deeper.
Yeah, I'm going for something deeper. Okay. I'm going for the reason for appreciation and the mistakes we made. And I'm gonna jump on you here a little bit and say
I appreciate it. You know, I feel like I should pay more for this session.
Yeah.
Than I already have.
It sounds to me like pushing personal needs aside, a person's appreciation goes deeper than their business need. The business need is just a reflection of it. So when people aren't getting along in your company, what's that speaking to you?
Like if they're having a conflict with each other?
Yeah. Or it's not with each other, but just things aren't going well. How would that feel for you if things weren't going well?
It feels difficult for me. It feels like a challenge, something I need to address because it's going to have ramifications for my leadership, getting the vision accomplished, serving clients.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a reflection of my poor leadership.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, something I'm not addressing well. It might point to weakness in me.
Right. Right.
It depends on what it is.
Right. So there's an affirmation there. So at that point, when things aren't going well, people often jump to this idea that it's about something in me that needs to be, and that therefore what we need is that to be propped up and for us to be assured that it's not necessarily your leadership. Or it might be your leadership, but that's not the end all and be all if you're flawed here. And I think that is part of our need for appreciation and affirmation is that we take things personally. And part of the role of the people around us is to show appreciation and affirmation of the person who's sitting there in their weakness or in their strength because they start to personalize things.
Yeah.
And part of the leader's job is to say, you know, to draw that distinction and still show value. Yes, you're a flower and there's a flaw in your petal.
Yeah.
You're still beautiful.
Yeah.
And we'll work to help that out, to fix that.
As you're talking, I'm thinking that the reason it matters to me is that at work, I tend to be operating in my strength. If I'm in a good position.
Mm-hmm.
So if my strength turns out to have flaws, then I must be flawed. It's sort of hard not to take that personally.
Right. Yeah.
So I feel like even more the need for affirmation in a situation where there's chinks in the armor and that's the best armor I got.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And if I don't have that, what do
I
have?
What else do I have? Yeah.
Right. Right. And people come to work trying, they want to demonstrate their value.
Yeah.
I mean, they're answering that question all the time. Am I valuable? Am I contributing? Mm-hmm. Am I important?
Yeah.
And that's the need they come to work with. And doggone it, you need them to be valuable.
Yeah.
Right? And if they don't see their value and they don't recognize that, then they're going to swirl down the drain, essentially. Yeah. And that's so you're answering, the people around us answer the question for us, am I valuable? And that I think that is part of the need for appreciation is to affirm what we're trying to do. in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. So what effect does it have on an organization if people are being affirmed or are not being affirmed?
That's a great question. The American Psychological Association Center for Organizational Effectiveness did a survey earlier this year, and they found that 94% of the people who felt like they were valued in the workplace, that those 94% were motivated to give their best. Of those people who did not feel valued, only 37% felt motivated to give their best.
Big difference.
Big difference, right? And what's amazing to me is that there were 37%.
That's a lot of people underappreciated.
Yeah.
Giving their best.
Yeah, and so that speaks to people's drive and their goals and some of their internal work ethics that they still put forth and a certain character that they have, that they're putting that forward. But that's a big gap, right? And so that tells us if I were to approach a business owner and say, I can give you a 10% bump in people's effort and motivation, would you want to take that? How about a 60% bump?
Yeah.
Right? So what can we do to make sure people are pushing the envelope?
Right. So what can we do? Let's get practical.
Let's get practical.
Yeah.
Let's
so practical. What do you recommend?
Yeah. So the first thing, I think, I have this acronym SUVs, right? And so SUV stands for the first step in it is to see people, to stop and pause, like you talked about seeing Gigi.
Yeah.
And just stopping and pausing to look and to see what there is about her and noticing people, stop and pause. And then when you stop and pause and look at people, you're going to find that they're different than you are. Right. And or that they're doing things you might not expect. And so the next step is to understand what's driving them, what's going on with them. And we will find that people have different motivations and there's different things happening. Maybe that somebody is pushing for a promotion. Maybe someone's pushing for mastery. Maybe someone's pushing for approval in the office. Maybe one person's just pushing to get through the day because they have other things they want to do or because they have so much going on at home, but seeing and understanding people, right? And then the next step is valuing them, asking what about them is to be valued. So one of the things we see in workplaces is just tremendous distinctions in what people value. Some people value someone who comes in and is reliable. And so they're going to emphasize that. Some people are going to value a friendly face in the customer service and the smiley. Some people are going to value that person who's attending to detail or the person who's pulling the social team together or person who gives people perspective. There's all these things to value in people. We don't often see them. And and one thing we don't see is typically that reliable person who just comes in and does what they're expected. Why should I appreciate that? So seeing, understanding, and then appreciating that person's contribution, seeing that what they do leads to results. Now, you told me a story, frankly, about a conference you went to in New York, right? And you talked about how well-run that conference was.
Right.
And it seems to me that you understood what went into it, and you valued it.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. Right. And then the last step is to savor. And this is something that you've shown me how to do, and you continue to show me how to do, is to stop and linger on something and to experience it and to let it go down to your inmost parts and appreciate its characteristics, right?
Yeah.
And so I think you did this very thing and you told me about this conference you went to. So tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, the conference was well run. They paid a lot of attention to detail. They did... you could tell at every step that they cared about the experience that you were having when you were going through that.
Right.
And so I got to the end of the conference and I thought, wow, that was really effective. Like I was really able to freed up to get the value out of this experience because they took care of those details. And so what a benefit that is. And I just had to share that with them. So on the way out, I talked to a couple of the assistants that I knew were kind of the behind the scenes people. They weren't up front, but they were actually making it happen. right. and did a lot of the work
for
the months ahead of time to make it happen. At first, they were just like mode switching from working like just pausing and taking it all in.
Right.
And then their faces just lit up. And I could see that it just really encouraged them. And it had a big impact on them. So, I thought that was worth savoring.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what I think we're looking at. And I think the thing that's hard to do is to make that understanding leap that you made to see that this conference was, things were going well. And to go, oh, in order for this to go well, all these things have to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And oh my, somebody's doing that. Somebody is attending to all these little details to make this pulled off, mm-hmm. right? And then to say, wow, and value that because it's making my experience fantastic.
Yeah,
like it was easy to let that go and say I don't even notice it, right?
Yeah.
But then to go and talk to the person about it and to express it to them—that's part of the savoring. To say, here's how this is affecting me, and talking about that. And I think that's a great example. Mm. So it reminds me of talking to my friend Lisa a few years ago. Well, a number of years ago, and she was talking about how realistic sets were on TV and in plays and things like that nature. And I'd always taken that for granted. And I remember we were talking about Saving Private Ryan, and I felt like it was real. And when she started talking about this, I thought, I didn't notice anything weird about the set. I thought that the tank was going to roll over me. And she was telling me how much goes into that because she's been on movie sets because she was a tutor for the studios. And I thought, I had no appreciation because I'd never been on the inside.
Right.
So yeah. I think maybe understanding takes a bit of reflection on life. And I think it requires us to really process life and how we live life.
And as you're talking, I'm thinking if we were going to do that pausing and reflecting and savoring at work, that there's an opportunity there. It's not just an opportunity to lift that person up and help them feel encouraged, right? Mm-hmm. And give them energy and motivation to be more productive.
Yeah.
But there's also a sort of a corporate benefit that happens there. Like as I'm appreciating someone, that's an opportunity to highlight, hey, here's the value. These are the values that I see being honored in what you're doing.
Right.
And here are the values of our company that we've discussed before. And look how you are helping our company move forward in these values. Look how you are embodying these values and helping us to really reflect them. There's an opportunity there to like bring us together, not just to say you're doing a great job, keep it up.
Right.
But also to say you're contributing to something bigger here that all of us are about, that we share.
So it's a way of aligning and moving people that in the direction you want them to go.
Yes, it's a form of leadership.
It is leadership.
It is leadership.
So you tell people what's important about this workplace. And so it's not just about I'm coddling you. What I'm doing is I'm creating something here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's a great point. Is we're pointing people to what's important. I think there's more to it though, right? So there's pointing to the organization, right? And that shapes them for the organization. But we can also push them and show them what's important and emphasize what's valuable to them.
Right, and what's unique about them. And I was thinking that it's one thing to just notice behavior.
Right.
Like, I noticed that you did this. Good job.
Right.
You know, you took care of this detail or you took whatever it happens to be. But if you go a step deeper, we could also point to the character, the intangible part of them that it takes to actually pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes them a valuable member of the group.
Right.
And so maybe even in the way we give appreciation, I'm thinking we could point to that character, not just good job for doing that thing.
Right.
But here's what I noticed. When you were doing that, it really took a lot of patience.
Right.
And I just wanted to affirm that that patience is so valuable on our team. And that's helping. That's the kind of contribution. That's the kind of person. It's the being part.
Right.
Or, wow, it took a lot of discipline to get that right.
Right.
And the way you show discipline is really a good example to the rest of us.
Right.
And we're all learning from you. Thank you so much for embodying that character. Right. So you're pointing them to not just the behavior, but deeper into the heart.
Yeah. And when you point to something deep in their heart and in their, and how they're made, how they're knit together, it's affirming, right? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have them.
Yeah.
It's not just, well, good job for this behavior. Yeah. And that's that behavior separate from me, but this is me.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So, but that kind of brings something up is you kind of, so what if you affirm something in a person that's not who they are?
Ooh, it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it doesn't resonate at all.
Right.
And so then the feeling is, well, wait a minute, you don't know me.
Right.
So you really haven't been apparently doing the SUVs. You haven't stopped. You haven't understood. And your values are misaligned.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you have a problem on your hands.
Yeah. It kind of is a more distancing.
I totally agree. And I think that's a reason why so many people who are in jobs like mine that work with people on leadership and creating company culture, they usually steer people away from talking about any of that internal stuff. Hmm. Because there's a danger that if you get it wrong.
Yeah. It's risky.
It's risky.
Yeah.
For me, the potential benefit, there's too much upside to not do it.
Yeah. So you got to take the risk.
Yeah, take the risk. But, you know, the as you said, you have to know people first.
Yeah.
You have to, if you haven't paid attention, you know, I had a boss like this. They thought I was a detail person.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. And...
No.
and the same boss misspelled my last name for 4 years.
Oh.
And she wrote my checks.
Oh.
Well, three years, right? So not paying attention.
Yeah.
Not paying attention.
Yeah. So what did that feel like to work in that situation? Like what, you go to work, this is the impression you're getting. Now what happens?
Well, that's a good question. I think that I reflect, this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
I clearly remember feeling like I'm not known.
Right.
They don't know me. And that was depressing.
Yeah. So you're depressed about work.
It was depressing. And it was an early work experience.
Yeah.
And I was all alone in that city.
Yeah.
And so these are the people I had.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that as I reflect, it made me fearful.
Yeah.
And reluctant to show them who I really was. And it made me fearful of failure because their very impression of me was wrong.
Yeah.
And if they didn't know my real value, what value could I possibly have?
Yeah.
So it was, I think it made me on I was on eggshells.
Yeah. I'm hearing that there might be risky for you to show who you really are at that point because you're sort of hired and valued and still around based on something that's not true. So what if you show them how false their impression is? Then where will you be? What will you be to them then?
And so that was a fear, you know, and you can't say, how do you say I'm struggling with this or I need help with this if that's what they think?
Oh, sure.
And the fear is, well, what's we hired you for?
Yeah. If you don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, that's not who I thought you hired me to be.
Yeah.
And so it becomes a very tenuous thing.
So at that point, what's your responsibility to the organization?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, I can speak as a more mature person now.
Let's get personal, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. As a more mature person now, but at the time, you know, it was hard to do.
Yeah.
I think my responsibility as someone who's hired to fulfill something, as I say, you know, here's what I'm really good at. Here's what I do and I do well at, and here's what I don't do well at. I think that part of the difficulty for people, you know, must be that we're always in discovery.
Yeah.
Right. And the earlier in your career you are, the more discovery's happening.
Right.
I kind of know now. Yeah. You know?
Well, I think you have a lot more clarity now. I think could it have been okay for you to say, I'm not sure that I fully discovered all of my strengths and weaknesses and all the value that I could have. But here's what I think I know. And I wanted to run that by you so we could help explore that together. But I'm hearing this and it's not resonating with me. I think I'm stronger at this, but I'm also still figuring myself out.
Yeah.
Maybe we could work together on that.
That would have been the strong, mature, wise thing to say. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then my head goes back to, you know, did I have the capacity to do that? And do people, does everyone in your organization have the capacity to have that conversation?
Yeah.
And that's a difficult answer, right?
Yeah. But that is the growth mindset.
That is the growth mindset.
It says, this is an opportunity to improve this work relationship, to get more clarity about who I am, who you are, how you see me, how I see myself.
Right.
And wouldn't it be fun to embrace that together and see what happens?
Right.
This is not about success and failure at work.
Yeah.
This is about improving my contribution, my role here.
Yeah.
So I have a great fit and making a great contribution.
Yeah. And so that kind of makes me think about something you said in your post about early appreciation.
Right.
So tell me about early appreciation and what all that means.
I think by early, it could mean two things.
Yeah.
One thing it could mean is early in the process. The other it could be is early in the relationship.
Right.
So, I first thought of it as early in the process. Like, don't wait until the project's over to say thanks for your contribution. Because the truth is, you're making contributions along the way.
Right.
And recognizing it when it happens is valuable and timely and fuels the project. But early in the relationship is probably equally important, if not more, which is to say, you know, when a person's just getting, like you talked about, you were new in the organization, you were new in the city, things are kind of tenuous for you. This is who you have. And how much value would there be at that point in appreciating something that was true about your contribution, that you, something about your character or your values or how you were contributing that we all benefited from and recognized. And I think we tend to wait for the end of the year or bonus or appreciation days or something along this, you know, which is a good reminder.
Right.
It's, you know, but I think little bits along the way go pretty far.
So. Yeah. And I think that kind of gets back to my title for that my post was, is Appreciation Day coming? Well, that's a trick question, right? Appreciation Day is always here.
Yeah.
And as we think about kind of the onboarding or early employee process, if I'm going to design an organization, what I want to happen is I want for people to get to know each other very soon. You know, I tend to look at the first day of employment in a job as kind of the first day of a child being adopted.
Hmm.
What would I do? What would I do if I was adopting a child and bringing them to my home from some foreign culture? So I do things to make sure they feel safe and secure, to learn who they are, and I pay attention to that. And certainly an employee is not an adopted child, but there's certainly a metaphor in there or analogy in there. And so if we're looking at appreciation, I want to focus some of my efforts and my team's efforts around learning who the person is and demonstrating worth for them and finding ways that before they produce, because it boosts them and stabilizes them so that they're able to produce. Certainly I want them to produce and I'm going to do things to help them produce, you know, set goals and job descriptions and, you know, give them all the training they need and all that good stuff. Part of the equation is learning who they are and starting to appreciate that stuff in them too.
Yeah.
That early stuff.
Well, Mike, I really appreciate this conversation. I feel like I've been under your wisdom and learning. I'm learning from you as we do this, and I think other folks must be as well. So, thank you.
Well, I'm gonna turn that back around because I think that the very lens that I'm looking at this through was clarified by that conversation we had about the convention or the conference in New York that you went to, and by by some of the ways you savor things. And I think if only, you know, my wife longs for me to savor food and to savor her like you do, right? so we're all learning in this, and it's a journey. Yeah. And I think that a lot of these things that I think about are, you know, frankly, I think about because of my own inadequacies, but where I am. So thank you for your time.
All right.
And I hope this has been an illuminating conversation for someone else besides the two of us.
Yes, very much so.
All right. Thank you, Ken.
Thanks. Bye. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We're so excited that things are getting going here, and it would be a huge help if you could rate and review our show on iTunes. That helps us spread the word to more listeners. Thanks.